So in the 21st century, when Jesus said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," we would call that a mic drop moment, because there's no more to be said. When they drop the mic, everything's done. But we have to ask the question, how is everything done? He says, it has been fulfilled in their hearing. So what was fulfilled? He anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. But there are still oppressed. There are still captives. There are still people in need of healing. How can we say the prophecy has been fulfilled? You're waiting for the answer, I can tell. We're going to try and work that out a little bit here this morning. So I want us to take a little bit of time to think about Luke's message for us this morning. What did it have in it that tells us how we have to be the body of Christ in the world? How that prophecy that Jesus proclaimed fulfilled is still being fulfilled today through us, the body. It has to do with a person called the Holy Spirit. If you pay attention in the scriptures that Luke gives us in this gospel, the Holy Spirit is very present throughout it, especially in chapters 3 and 4. Because in chapter 3, the Holy Spirit falls down upon Jesus in his baptism and proclaims, "This is my son, my beloved, who is well pleased." He is immersed in the Holy Spirit. But that same Holy Spirit, after his baptism, pushes him out into the desert where he is tempted. And there, with the Holy Spirit present with him, he moves through 40 days in the wilderness. And then the scripture this morning reminded us, when Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. This man is Spirit-filled. This man is ready to embark on his ministry, completely immersed in the Spirit of the Lord. So with him and throughout his ministry is the Holy Spirit. God, the Creator, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always one in the midst of his time on earth. So this Holy Spirit power within Jesus Christ is there each time he goes and speaks. And crowds begin to gather because this is something that is just so powerful and so wonderful. You want to be there. You want to experience it. And I'm assuming he says this, that he said in Nazareth, everywhere he goes. He is making a statement about who he is as God in Jesus Christ, in God incarnate here on the earth with the power of the Holy Spirit. What the kingdom will be about. What his work and mission will be about. Remember? You guys, I don't know if you had to do it, but remember when they always wanted us to sit with committees and make mission statements? And you would sit for hours trying to figure out what's our mission and how are we going to make a statement about the mission? And then they said, don't make it 2 paragraphs long. You want to make it short. You want people to be able to provide it. What Jesus is telling us this morning is committees don't make mission statements. They never will. What makes our mission statement is our work in mission. The mission statement will grow out of what we do and who we are as the body of Christ. Jesus gave us that statement here when he said, "This is what I have come to do. I proclaim it is done here in my presence. To bring good news to the poor." Doesn't mean that we bring them a Bible. Okay, if you are poor, if we showed up at your door with a Bible, though you might appreciate God's word, is that what you need? You might need a way to find work. You might need a way to find food. You might need a way to find clothing. And you might need friends to walk beside you in the midst of that as we tell you about this man named Jesus. But to bring good news to the poor would be a way to be in community with them, in relationship with them, so that we can ease the issue of poverty in our area. Jesus calls us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be in mission to the world. He calls us to be people who are part of the body of Christ. And not every person has that same gift or grace. That's why we have many parts in our body and many parts in the body of Christ. Some people have a passion for those who are aging. Some people have a passion for those who are homeless. Some people have a passion for those who are sick. Some people have a passion for youth, for children. We all have the passions that God gives us. And we all have the gifts and graces that we can use to bring about the kingdom of God. It was there as soon as Jesus proclaimed it, and we are part of that process of creating it. Some may even have the gifts and graces to go to the edges of North Carolina and help in the reconstruction of homes. It is all how God has wired us. There's a Presbyterian missionary who said that if we are not a church moving in mission, then our spirit will diminish and we will become less of who God called us to be. I didn't read the rest of that chapter, but if we read the rest of that chapter, Jesus proclaiming that message in Nazareth did not do well for Jesus. They brought him to the edge of a cliff and were ready to throw him off. And the Spirit brought him through the crowd. When we step into the mission that God calls us through Jesus Christ to be at work in the world, sometimes the people that we think will walk beside us and work with us, this was his hometown, they should have wanted to walk beside him and work with him. Sometimes they will want to throw us off the cliff. The work of ministry and mission in the world, the work of the redemption of the world, which is God's work through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is never our work, our hands, our feet. It is empowered by the Holy Spirit. So it's God's hands and feet through us. That kind of work will sometimes not be well received. Sometimes we will find resistance to the work that God calls us to do. Sometimes we find resistance in our own body. Now, I didn't quite agree with Paul in that writing about the body never gets in conflict with itself, because I know that my heart and my intestines sometimes have this war. So sometimes within the body, we do have a certain amount of difficulty in coming together for the mission of Christ. Monday at First United Methodist Church in Henderson, there were gathered some Presbyterians, some Episcopalians, some Baptists, and some United Methodists packaging food for Rise Against Hunger. And we've done that here in our fellowship hall. But one of the things that I want to talk about is not Cam's work that was very diligent and no one was beside him while he was working. I want to talk about Cam's sister, Brooke. Brooklyn was with us, and though she had trouble with her gloves, she did manage to put some of the vitamin pill packets into the bag, and the group that Brooklyn was working with worked at Brooklyn's pace so that Brooklyn could be part of the process of feeding people somewhere around the world. The body of Christ does that. The body of Christ makes room for everybody's gifts and graces, some much more coordinated and some maybe not so. Some, it doesn't really matter. All that matters is that we show up, we put our gloves on, and we get ready for work. So how is God calling us to be the body of Christ? How are we proclaiming the good news to the poor? How are we proclaiming release to the captives? How are we proclaiming recovery of sight to the blind? What are we doing to let the oppressed go free? Wouldn't it be wonderful if right here people could be witness to what the year of the Lord's favor looks like? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.